It's good to be out with everybody again tonight. Tonight I want to talk to you guys about having a heart of thankfulness. That's the title of my lesson tonight. And we have so much to be thankful for. And if you look around you, everybody that's around you, you have to be thankful for. All your family and everybody that's here. And so tonight I want to go over a few things that we can specifically be thankful for. And the first is the relationships that we have here with each other within the church. These are some of the closest relationships that we'll ever have here on this earth, is with the people that are sitting next to you tonight. And a large portion of that is because of the unity that we share within the Word. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Without having these divisions among us, it really helps the relationships be very meaningful. It's a barrier that's not there that you might have with somebody that you just encounter in the world. There's a mutual understanding. And I've had it happen many times to me where whenever I go to camp or I meet somebody at a gospel meeting or something, it's like I've known them for a little while, or I know at least something about them because we share that mutual belief. And that's really something to be thankful for. Also, if you want to turn to 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 15. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 15. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath the world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth off his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." We love one another, and we help one another. And we go as far as to lay down our lives for one another, just as Christ did for us. And who in this world, other than the people that share the same faith as you, would do that for you? And that's cause for thanks in and of itself, because it's a comfort that many in the world don't have. The next thing I want to point out is the relationships that we have within our own families, and specifically the immediate family that you have. We have many instructions all throughout the Bible regarding how we treat those in our family that are here with us on earth. And I kind of want to go through some of them. I have a couple verses, and so if you want to just write them down, you can look at them later, but I'll read them out here. As far as fathers and husbands, I have 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So his role is to provide for the family. And also, Ephesians 6 and verse 4, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So they're supposed to provide for the family, and they also bring the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's the role. That's the commandment that the husband's been given. And as far as mothers and wives, I found the best way to the best verse for this is in Proverbs chapter 31. If you want to turn there, Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil in all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the sindel, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing in silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up, and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So when the mother or wife strives to hold these characteristics that are very plainly laid out here, then that's, she's fulfilling her role that God meant for her in the family relationship. As far as the children go, in Ephesians chapter 6, let's turn there real quick. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So when your parents are following the Lord, and they're actively trying to do so, then listen to them, and they'll lead you to do so also. They'll lead you in the right direction. I think it's very interesting, too, how in verse 1 it says, obey your parents in the Lord. And meaning that don't just follow them, because if you were converted yourself and you have worldly parents, then they could lead you in the wrong direction. So in the Lord, meaning that when you see that they're doing everything they can to follow Jesus, then follow them and they'll lead you in the right direction. And a good way to kind of sum up the everybody's commandments is in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So when the family is striving to follow God in all these ways is really something to be thankful for, because it creates unity and it creates a sense of encouragement to be able to rely on them. And so we should all strive to create that in our own families, whichever stage that we may be in. My next point that I'd like to look at specifically about being thankful for is the freedoms that we have. The freedoms that we have here in the United States, specifically in this time period, are really unmatched, because we have many examples of persecution of God's followers that were just had a lot harder of a time to worship Him than we do. You know, Paul being put in prison, and Stephen being stoned, and Jesus being crucified, all for doing the Lord's will and putting His word out through them. it really is a tremendous blessing from God, and we should definitely be thankful for that. True freedom can only be found in God's will, and we see that in Romans chapter 6. If you want to turn there, Romans chapter 6, starting verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now ye yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when ye are the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The freedom of eternal life can only be gained by being a servant for righteousness. When you have that faith and you have that freedom and that hope of a home in heaven, that it doesn't matter what anybody here on this earth can do. And what we need to be thankful for specifically is that he's made it so easy, even though it doesn't matter, that we can take on anything that this world can throw at us, because they can't touch our soul. Having the ability to have that hope for a home in heaven is thanks to the goodness of God, which is my next point. If you want to turn to Deuteronomy 8, here God reminds his people of how he took care of them in the wilderness. In verses 3 and 4, he tells them of the manna that he provided for them, the clothes that didn't wear out, and how their feet did not swell no matter how much they walked. And in verse 6 through 9, he tells them of the blessings and the wealth that are going to await them in the promised land. And verse 11 through 18, however, he warns them not to forget his goodness. Once they started to enjoy these blessings, because that would be it could be a hindrance to them. Verse 11 states, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And also in verse 17, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth." It's so easy to forget what he has done for us. He blesses us again and again, and once we get what we want, we can just turn away from him. Another way that we can forget his blessings is that we look at others' blessings, and in comparison, we think we lack something. For many years, it was only God as Israel's king. But in 1 Samuel 8, Israel asked for their own king to keep up with the surrounding nations. And they were asking for trouble, and they definitely got it. They forgot God's goodness that he had given to them. You can also look at Solomon and how he responded with humility to God's promise for success in 2 Chronicles 1, asking only for wisdom and knowledge to lead the people. And God blessed him with that, and even more, he still turned to other gods. He let things in this world get in the way of what really mattered. And he forgot the blessing of God's goodness. The goodness of God is something that we specifically need to be thankful for, because he toils with us whenever we constantly make mistakes, and he takes us back. The last point I'd like to make tonight is Christ. We need to be thankful for him and the perfect sacrifice that he made. We remember every first day of the week, as we did this morning, the sacrifice that he gave for us. But what we do forget is just how important that sacrifice is to our salvation. In Acts chapter 4, if you want to go ahead and turn there real quick, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way but through him. And he gave himself for us so that we might have that hope. And that, in and of itself, is something to truly be thankful for. Heaven is not a given, and we aren't owed anything, no matter how much we may believe that. It requires action on our parts. And really, if you haven't taken that first step to being saved, you can use the blessing of Christ and his sacrifice that he gave us to save you from your sins, and you can be baptized even this evening. We have so much to be thankful for, and these are just a couple of things that I thought would be good to point out. And we need to remember that in the good and the bad times, no matter what comes our way. For our brothers in Christ, for our immediate families that he's given us, for the freedom that we have here in this country, and for the graciousness of God our Father, and the hope that we have in heaven, thanks to the sacrifice that Christ gave. If you don't have that hope, I urge you to come forward, and please be baptized tonight, so that you might have that hope in heaven. Come forward as we stand and sing.